doesn't contradict. What is important is the development of some criteria to submit so that we don't fall into this position again. And we, just like you seek progressive people to be on the board, you want progressive lawyers. You don't want any corporate schlock who comes in. I mean, that's, I'm sorry, who Kevin is. So I think we, I'm just suggesting that we do both, that we move expeditiously to seek the opinion. We do know people, folks sit on the boards of the ACLU and many other groups that are generally respected, although the ACLU is not exactly the right group because they're civil libertarians. They function in different areas. But we do know people who are Pearl Deaf and other groups who are particularly experienced and have cogent information on these issues. Let us seek them out. Let us begin to get some memos going. And then we can simply say that one of the reasons that we'd also like the meeting to be delayed is to develop those kinds of criteria so that when we're submitting our guts, our essence, that we have a criteria and it's not done in as arbitrary or haphazard fashion. That's all.
It's my understanding that the initial attorney submitted his opinion. And seeking another opinion doesn't seem like a bad idea. I know the thing was raised with regard to the process of selecting attorneys, but I'd just like to add, you know, if you want to move forward, I say think of the GM process and how long that took for people to even get up to where they would know what to look for. There were so many people on that committee who had no idea what they should even be looking for in a general manager. So,
Actually, the one.
So, if people put out a call, if people put out a call for, if the lab puts out a call for attorneys, which is what Mimi was saying, as opposed to friends, and you know, as Pacifica activists, what have you, people, based on these names, what they're good at, they're just opinions. There's somebody else with more opinions.
I think that you may be right, maybe half of it, but the thing is that there was some discussion among different labs, among Pacifica National Board members, among activists from Pacifica, and people vote on different items. And so, but basically what these lawyers were asked to put that into the legal language, some of those resolutions that was passed by some of the labs and by the National Board. Now, I know that he come out with somehow, he put his opinion, and he stated that some of the thing made some recommendations. That's what I think. It is, you just, you know, so, and I would think that any lawyer that you ask to write that probably will try to avoid, I don't know, not to get sued or something, which is some of the cases. So, just for these people to information that it was not only his opinion, it's to put into the language, but by the way, that he didn't put that in there. He didn't even follow that, which is not the reason that some people are not
really.
I bet you Rob would repudiate.
Right. Let me go to the phone and then Victoria. And we're going to try to arrive this 9 o'clock and try to see if we can get some conclusion of this meeting.
One more quarter?
No.
Given the fact that there isn't any real process in place for selecting a lawyer, that it might be advisable for this lab to propose Ted Shaw or suggest him. I've heard of my name is Shaw, and there's nobody who seems to be more expert and to be more committed. But, and possibly also at the same time, as Mimi is pursuing it, to get him to privately offer a formal opinion. That's one thing. Secondly, I think that it would also be advisable for this lab, and, you know, individuals, to come up with specific questions that they want to have answered by the lawyer. Because, and I don't, you know, mean to be pessimistic, but everything that I've heard so far is that, and I, when I say the word quotas, I don't mean it in a pejorative sense. I like quotas. I think that they're good. But I think my sense is that the way everything that I've heard so far, like if you read Dave Burdick's stuff, it's already been argued, it's been lost in the courts to come up with specific percentage requirements. However, in our situation, and there's no, and there doesn't seem to be any case law. There is no case law, as far as I know. I doubt if there is a single nonprofit in this country that has diversity requirements with percentages. They don't exist because affirmative action officers have basically accepted, you know, the law, which says you can't do it. But here's what I'm leading up to something a little bit different, which is this, that it really boils down to, since there isn't any precedent, whether we could come out with what we want, regardless of what the established law is. The question becomes, what are the potential consequences? For example, the IRS. Okay, you get minorities, it's been said, the IRS doesn't really get involved, you know, with affirmative action issues.
No, it's just that it's federal statute, which doesn't make it illegal. It's not state statute.
Okay, federal statute. But regarding our nonprofit status, my question is this. If a determination was made that we were not in compliance with the law because we had diversity requirements, would there necessarily be an opportunity for us to say, okay, we will come into a compliance, or would there be an opportunity to go to court, and if we lose in court, then we can come back into compliance? Or does the IRS have the right to say, I'm revoking your nonprofit status, period, unilaterally? That's the kind of question I would want to have answered by an attorney, because that would determine the way we proceed. If they have the ability to just cut us off, or if the FCC has the ability to revoke our license without our having any ability to fight back, you know, then I think we have to consider it in that light. On the other hand, if there is, you know, established procedure which gives us time to either, you know, change our bylaws or to go to court to fight for it, you know, then that's another situation.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. You know what, guys? I think that you come in next, but I'm trying to see if we did the lab trying to arrive to a conclusion on this. So I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to... Oh, yeah, you've been having your heads raised for a long time. Okay, one, two... But it has to be very short, because we're going to try to get a conclusion of this, and that will be the last...
I thought I was...
But I'm on, right?
No, you got to go. No, I'm sorry.
No, this is really just a penny, it may be a penny everything, but it keeps growing back in me. Pacifica Foundation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation. What happened to our broadcasting arm? Why don't we say that in the first line?
Are you posing your question to the lab?
Well, my question is,
why isn't it there?
Why isn't it there?
Because the lawyer sucks.
No, the foundation was not clear.
Okay. I don't think that, you know, like Paul said, we should raise to ask specific questions, and I think that's a specific question that should be asked.
Use the charter.
Right. Okay. Maybe. Let's see how we're going to say this. And it'll be. I think we're probably going to see. I mean, besides what we're going to do here tonight. I guess it will be some discussion, and more light will come to what the next step for the different labs is going to be. There's, I think, three labs meeting tonight, and so they will come out some sort of idea how the people are going to take it. But I'm going to have just three, one, two, and three, and it's going to be really short because we're going to write this. You see, people are getting ready to leave.
Just about a minute and a half. If I was sick, I went to a doctor. He told me I was very sick, or I went to a lawyer. He said that the legal thing was not valid. You know, something I didn't want to hear. I wouldn't be able to, I think, turn it into a racial or political issue. My suggestion is that the best at one or two or three lawyers that could be afforded, instead of just continually going around to the more and more lawyers until you found one that said. But you wanted to hear that you weren't sick. I mean, that doctor did not take a look at you.
Okay.
If that doctor gave you an opinion without really checking you out too thoroughly and told you're going to die, you might want to hear from somebody else.
Okay. Actually, insurance companies make you go to a second opinion.
I just wanted to respond to Paul's point regarding the consequences of these actions by us, potential actions. And that is, remember that the case of Bob Jones University, they had their nonprofit status revoked. So, you know, yes, there is the chance of the nonprofit status being revoked. If that was revoked, I think that we might have a good chance of losing our license to broadcast. And that is a very dire consequence that we should consider very carefully.
We'll go to a microwave radio.
Keep slaves because somebody's
Yeah. After the meeting, anybody want to stay over
wait
and talk
minute.
About the contract?
Wait a minute.
David, come on.
So, yeah, me too.
Yeah, a long time.
It's sort of piggybacking to some degree off of what Paul was saying. I think that Pacifica represents some principles that we've lived by and supported for a half a century. The progressive principles. Okay. Within the context of the bylaws, there's been a struggle that articulated and focused or crystallized some of these principles around the question of elections and the bylaws and our interpretation of that. There's nobody in this room who has said that they oppose affirmative action. Let me just say.
You have to be short because come on.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah. And I would just say that the strategy of Pacifica is to in fact, you know, carry out its mission and codify it as much as possible. And if there's a challenge to that legally, we'll go to court. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that lawyers don't make law, legislators and courts make law. That's the first thing. And then the last thing is that, you know, we had a mayor in this city who has a gazillion lawyers, corporation counsel, I could be one of them. Corporation Council and every damn agency in New York City has a law department, okay, who violated constitutional law 30 times upon the opinion of his lawyers, violated constitutional law 30 times, went to court and lost 29 times out of 30. Rudolph Giuliani. Okay. The First Amendment of the Constitution.
Okay, thank you for being sure. Okay, can we just start arriving to
maybe we should
do all
the I think we're breaking down. First, do we want to include
procedurally? Maybe this would help. I would be willing to set up a meeting with some lawyers within the next week and a half. Mm-hmm. If people also forwarded some questions, which we can publish, because actually it's extremely helpful to meet with somebody with questions rather than just recapitulate. Right. So if we could collect some questions to whatever website we want to, I would send them out to some folks. I could try to set up a meeting, maybe even set up a meeting here where I could bring one or two attorneys to at least confer on some of these so people don't have these knee-jerk respect, you know, Bob Jones said, therefore we are. No, but it's a law case, but it's not the law in its entirety as it relates to us. But if people need to hear other lawyers say that, fine. But I'll be willing to do that in the next week and a half. Set up a meeting here. I would bring one or two people who I think have expertise. My hunch is people would feel that they do indeed. And if we can have some questions in advance, which could be sent out to some different lawyers, I'd be glad to tell you who they're being sent out to. And at least then we could get their juices flowing on some of these things. And to proceed that way.
I just wanted a little bit and... in general, the California law, and when it comes to nonprofit, just there will be something to add, because I think that's could be essential to the whole argument, because that's what the whole thing is going to be debating. And that's what I think is essential, what this guy is saying. This is the California law stating, this is, you know, so just have that in mind, because, I mean, if we go around...
Yeah, but the resolution specifically
says
that those people...
That's why I want the
would be familiar with California.
Moldev is based in and has been the pivotal point of the So, I mean, I think they will be able to offer us many.
Actually, somebody asked me to, somebody asked me, what the Moldev has and the bylaw, which is, I don't know, because it's basically one, it's the Mexican legal fund.
Well, it's a civil rights organization.
Which sometimes people get a little bit confused with, it's not basically, I mean, they have different people and as a board of directors. But the thing is that sometimes the people don't get it here is that they some members and there's a membership. And the membership create all kind of different people. So just to put that in there, which is a little bit different from all the non-profit organizations. Because most of the non-profit organizations, they don't have a membership. It's basically the board of directors. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, I've been like in the board of directors with five people.
Well, no, yeah, but there's the NAACP, there's hundreds of groups that have membership.
But before we go there, I'm just trying to see if we can, what we've been doing since the beginning, which is how we're going to frame, and I think that I didn't see the Andy got some of the
Well, let me tell you some of the points that have been raised. Anthony suggested taking out the mention of specifically remove the 50% requirement are not permissible, applied to written specific requirements are not permissible. Several people have suggested we put in an extra saying that more sufficient time be given for this. In the second bullet point, Mimi and others wanted to say, instead of prominent civil rights attorneys, we say prominent civil and human rights activists.
And that is in reference to the second opinion? That's what
this would be in this the public discussions.
Yeah,
brought
live public rather than the...
That would involve a broader set of people.
Did you say attorneys and activists?
I would be more comfortable. Yes, human rights.
I just said, we could
human
say
civil rights.
Human and civil rights activists, right. Which includes political people, attorneys. They are human beings occasionally.
Yeah, but I think the point is specifically is that they want legal opinions also.
I thought that's endemic to that. It's just that we have this bifurcation, and as though they are the ultimate. And
There's another thing there, which is the KTFA mentioned, which is another reference to the Pacifica National Board. And that I was thinking that could be that make sense in trying to work that out, because they are basically demanding from Pacifica National Board, if that is done by manipulation, and under proposition they say, so we are not. Basically, I mean, we say we are with that motion, with that resolution and spirit, but I don't see that in there. I mean, are we leaving that Pacifica National Board out of that resolution?
Not. That's who's going to pay for it if it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, if they're going to pay for it?
That's the idea. Otherwise, they're going to hire the lawyer themselves. To me, that's important. I don't think we should be afraid of challenging this process. For example, I'm not talking about you at all. KPFA specifically challenged the very process, except it does it in where it feels is extremely important. One of the resolutions they passed states that it does have the prerogative of the station board. It says they would have the right to hire, oversee, and fire the station manager with the approval of the PNB. And that was passed unanimously. I'm saying that for them is extremely important. And that one, they take the next step, which is the next logical step. And the next logical step is to say that our representative convey to the IPNB that the LSB will not ratify the final bylaw. So at that point, they say, we will not ratify. So I'm saying we should not accept the notion that we're going too far, because even though they haven't gone that far on that particular point, I'm not criticizing them, I'm just saying, this is their priority, and on that point, they're willing to tell the national board that unless you give this prerogative to the local board, that we can hire and fire a manager, that we will not approve the bylaws.
So I'm suggesting that we can also put similar language, not only in that particular item, but with the other item that we're discussing right now.
So if we don't hire, so are you saying...
I'm saying they're saying right here that our representative conveyed to the INB that the LSB will not ratify the final bylaws if the local boards do not have the power delegated to them to hire, supervise, and fire the session manager.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we should say that if they don't approve that, the resolution that we're going to pass now, we want...
That we can also put similar things.
Just that part, not talking about the general manager thing.
No. I'm saying if they can do it, we can discuss that.
Right.
Okay, if they can put that far, I don't think we should be afraid of putting that far.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying this story is important to them.
No,
we may not agree with this.
But they already sent all sorts of emails from Spooner, from her husband, the attorney or legal person.
And he's not on the board.
And he said something about the labs would not have any power to do this, that, or the other, to withdraw votes or whatever. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, there's all kind of email there, let me tell you. You will read.
So you don't know who, I mean,
I'm not saying I disagree with that position. All I'm saying is that if they came at the conclusion that we will not support these bylaws unless you have this item, I'm saying we can similarly say we will not support those bylaws if we don't have these other items that we're also concerned
about. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's not just what's happening.
Okay, can we just read what we got in there and then see if we can...
I agree with you.
Well, I don't know what we have really. We've got a couple of... we've basically got TFA plus little tidbits.
Well, I think what we should do first, do we want to put the language that Susan suggested, or do we want to leave it for a different time?
But Susan,
because I can raise it as a board member,
I think a lot of this is really, we're just translating it to the IPNB. I would put ourselves in the position of the IPNB. They're going to receive this. They're probably getting something similar from KPFK. How do you think the IPNB, I'm asking you, Ray, as an IPNB member, how do you think they're going to react to this? What language will cause them to do what we want them to do?
Well, I'm not sure. One thing I'm almost sure of is that if the labs did not question it, the IPN would have accepted it as a majority. Now that the labs are questioning it, unfortunately, we don't necessarily, we didn't consult with each other enough to see that maybe KPFA could not only say they want vote for it if the boards don't have power, but then they would also add the thing about diversity. And that we could have something jointly that would have both items as requirements. So, but I suspect KBFK will have it, as you say.
Okay,
and if, I think if it's done, the board is not going to be able to find it.
Let me just... the reason we're meeting tonight was because the procedure had been expected to be we would comment on this draft,
right.
And then by Friday, a version will be ready to be sent out to the IPNB. So, I haven't heard any word from the IPNB that they changed that plan, that the Berkeley meeting has been postponed or cancelled. They're going to have to act pretty quickly if they're going to do that. To cancel a meeting 10 days hence, people have probably bought tickets, et cetera, made reservations. They better act pretty quickly, i.e. tomorrow. So what do we suggest, and Ray, as a member on the receiving end, what do you suggest be done tonight to communicate with them so that they act tomorrow? Because it seems like quick action is required here.
Well, somebody said some other boards are meeting tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
I think tonight the national board is going to get the message. First, each lab has at least has one board member.
So what's the message? Cancel
Berkeley? Well, I'm not sure how far things have gone. Well, if we can't cancel Berkeley, we'll have to put it to some other use.
Well,
at least to some partial other use.
But what I heard is that the meeting will probably has a good chance to be postponed.
Right.
Yeah, well.
That is a possibility. It hasn't been done officially, but there's a possibility that will be done. Because this final draft raised a lot of questions, and they think it will not be able to really have it ready for the members to have it 7 days before the meeting of the national board.
Right.
So, and 10 days or 7 days?
Seven.
Required to be 10 days.
10 days.
Ten?
Yeah. Right. So
calendar days or working days?
Working days.
Ten calendar days.
Ten calendar days. So there's a possibility. It hasn't been done yet, but people are taken different lawyers, I think Carol Spooner and I think Leslie, but they haven't come out with the final decision, not that I'm aware of. But that I heard some comments and I talked to some people, and that's what I got. So I think going to be postponed. Haven't been done yet, but maybe. So, and in that note, I was thinking in terms of the time that was we were talking before, time frame, that we maybe hold that because we don't know when the meeting is going to be, so that maybe after the meeting, when we know when the meeting is going to be, maybe we can, maybe if the people wanted to do something with the time frame, could be done based when the next meeting is going to be, and you know.
Exactly. I think how long we delay depends on what we're trying to achieve. Oh, now, one language I have here that would accommodate maybe what Carol, or what Susan said, and it's, I'm looking at something that just pointed to me, that was written, the proposal that Bob had given us. He puts it in the wake of the earthquake created by Mr. Fink's one-sided and complete legal analysis about diversity requirement. We could say that the process of selection of legal counsel was inadequate and haphazard, and that consequently Mr. Fink's opinion, we believe, is one-sided, incomplete legal, you know, an analysis. And that therefore we decide the following and then go into the various aspects of the resolution.
Okay, so well, I mean, I don't know about that. Maybe we could be all agree and have him draft the bylaw. He will come up with the same resolution, with the same opinion. So I don't know.
Maybe. Well, maybe.
No, because, you know. No, yeah, the lawyer. I mean, they
find no. Every lawyers are, judges are. Even if you follow the law, you can go through the Supreme Court or anything else. There is always an ideological note that's injected into your interpretation of the law. Somebody can again tell you it's a legal fiction to have the right to privacy for women's right to choose. But other people are going to say otherwise. It's just the reality. The Supreme Court did what it did. They were wrong on the law, but they did, and that's why we have a regime rather than a Democrat.
I mean, I don't know about your analysis, but to me, that even the lawyer, you have two lawyers, you have two positions, the judge will decide who's wrong, who's right.
No, you take a position.
I know you take a position.
So what Mimi is saying, Miguel, is that if a Supreme Court could say that slavery is legal, they're clearly not looking at some gaudy documents. They're looking at the same constitution in the United States and interpreting their own way.
You do that in court every day.
Okay. Well, I've been in jail so many times, and that's what I'm saying. I thought it was right, and then they just said,
well,
that's right.
Because it was an ideological position.
That's right. And can we,
I didn't say much about this whole business. It reminds me of previous specific escapades like this. The last one was when they asked for an opinion, a very slanted opinion, and they got one. You know, it seems like, you know, you can ask for opinions and you might get the kind of opinion you want. So we might end up doing that. I'm more concerned about putting some closure on this whole thing. It seems like we've just opened up a Pandora's box.
Sure.
Okay. I asked specifically.
We just closed the moon.
That's infinite.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't realize that
okay.
was.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Well, I'll explain it at length why okay. Pandora's box is an
sorry, I.
Okay, all right, Emmy, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I learn every day. Thank you. I would suggest that to put some framework on this, that we recommend that the IPND meet, if they're not going to meet in Berkeley, that they meet by telephone to come up with a schedule for that, because we have been operating under a schedule. It has been condensed and condensed and condensed. And that's what led to this legal thing. They have to select a lawyer. They have to give him a task complete in 2 weeks.
This was a mechanical look at this situation. To me, if you're doing, if you're washing the floor, I can say do it in 2 days. If I'm doing brain surgery, I cannot say you have an hour to do it. I have to say this is what I'm doing, and that's how much time I need. And then let's see if you can give it the time. Instead of sending the other end, say that's how much time we have, so you do it in 5 days.
Okay, well, hurry. I'm not saying a hurry, I'm saying let's get some framework on this, we're just opening it up to, but to the end, why don't we put the language what we want, and then put it at the end. What I suggest is decree between parties, there is no court order, and no eye prayer other than our own.
I would suggest the IPM be needed. They decide what they want to do in terms of lawyers. They come up with a process. This could be done by the IPMB. And it doesn't, that's really the issue, that the IPMB